Welcome to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs, marketers, and founders to accelerate growth and thrive with Shopify. And now on to episode 245.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Before today's episode, I have a question for you. How many marketing experiments have you done in the last 4 weeks? How about in the last year? Now look, if you're doing 7 or 8 figures in revenue on your website or more, and you're not doing conversion optimization, you're leaving a ton of cash on the table. You won't scale to the next level, and you're going to get your lunch eaten by the competition over the next 12 months. Now our sponsor, Conversion Fanatics, runs thousands, I mean that, thousands of experiments each year for clients like Clorox, Burt's Bees, NBC Sports. I mean, I have a whole list here. Golf Channel, HarperCollins, ClickFunnels. I can rattle off a ton. There's an incredible amount of brands, including Shopify brands, that they run these experiments on. And what Conversion Fanatics does is it optimizes your Shopify store so you can get a lot more customers, scale up your traffic much faster, and see a lot more profit fall into your bottom line. And they make it easy, and they handle everything. So go to conversionfanatics.com for a free site proposal today and tell them E-commerce Fastlane sent you, because traffic without maximizing conversions, in my opinion, is sad. Well, hey there, my name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to Season 5 of E-commerce Fastlane. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate that you're taking time today to listen to the show. I know that plenty of podcast choices are out there, both in e-commerce and in direct-to-consumer marketing, and just the fact that you're here today means the world to me, and I know it definitely means a lot to my featured guest. If this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you likely are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. New episodes are available twice weekly and are available from your favorite podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. We're also now streaming live on Amazon Music and on YouTube, so go check that out. I also highly recommend getting the full value of today's episode. You click through from your podcast app to the show notes at ecommercefastlane.com, and there you'll find the full show transcript, all the links, and all the resources that we mention in today's episode. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Jan Sorensen, who's the general manager for Nosto, I believe, in the North American market. He's been building this U.S. presence of Nosto since 2014. Now, Nosto is a personalization platform. They're a plus technology partner, so they have the reliability and the scale and the data privacy for Shopify brands. And what they do is they create highly engaging shopping experiences, which is interesting here, both on and off site. I think we're going to dig into that one for sure today. It's guaranteed to be a great conversation, a ton of learnings. Please make sure you listen through to the end to get access to an exclusive listener only bonus. So hi, Jan. Welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Yeah, excited to be here, Steve. Thank you for the invitation. And I think it's the second time that we're on, right?
I just went through the back catalog just for recording today. And strangely enough, this is your encore. That's true. But the first time we recorded was, believe it or not, in July 12th of 2018. It was episode number 9, believe it or not. And here we are, I don't know, 250 some episodes now, and I don't know, 250,000 downloads, whatever we're at now. It's so interesting how everybody is evolving. And I know the Nosto platform from 2018 is a different Nosto that it is in 2022 today. And that's kind of why I wanted to have you back on the show, was to kind of unpack, you know, just all the innovation that's happening. And there's case studies, and it's an incredible growth story that, you know, you're directly impacting brands. I guarantee there's going to be a few people that maybe don't know who Nosto is and kind of the problems that you're solving. So maybe let's unpack that first, maybe a little bit on a high level first about the platform and just overall high level how you're helping brands.
For sure, for sure. I think definitely the complexity has grown alongside your platform as well. So I know when we started, we actually started also targeting the SMB market. And I think we were on the Shopify platform even before Plus came to market. So it's definitely evolved for sure. But just in general, Nosto is on a mission to make every impression relevant, specifically for Shopify and Shopify Plus stores. So basically what we want to be is kind of that intelligence layer. So you go from having a fairly static, out-of-the-box experience, and then we want to make that fairly dynamic, but then also kind of optimizing for various goals, merchandising goals, you know, performance goals, whatever you might be goaling your business for at that part. And of course, from an output perspective, there's definitely different channels and products that we do. I think the most adopted solution as of today is actually our category merchandising, which has evolved. So we're not just kind of the product recommendation engine anymore. So we definitely live on the collection pages for sure. And then also moving into what you might have done in the past with A/B testing tools. So we do dynamic content. So we can take over content blocks, whether it's on the homepage, landing pages. And then, as you've mentioned, there's definitely an evolution with our platform. So we've acquired technologies. We are now also a user-generated content company. And that might sound random, but there is, you know, logic to it. So we feel that, you know, generating content and serving basically all those personalized and segmented experience, there's almost like this content gap. So we just want to make sure that we can feed that in a more automatic fashion. And we do believe that UGC can be that key for us. And then we also did buy a search platform, I think super exciting. And that feeds more into kind of our merchandising portion, which we already are fairly strong in. And yeah, I mean, personalization, experience, optimization, it's almost like this retail is detail. I think that's what we do. Like, we bring in that detail. And at least from a psychological perspective, there's a few theories why that works. And then one of them being is like mere exposure effect, like just seeing stuff that you like and you have been exposed to previously that seems to convert. And then also just reducing the complexity. You know, there's this paradox of choice.
So interesting about the UGC side and the search side, that's definitely conversation topics that I have with brands right away. Is like, first of all, we know there's the reasons why conversion rates can be low on some brands is it's all about trust. And one thing that UGC, like non-professionally produced content, just seems to resonate with the end consumer more. And then having it available on a PDP page, on the product details page, potentially on collection pages. But man, if it's dynamically inserted, like, you know, recommended and dynamically inserted, the right place, the right time, even from the search side through that acquisition, it's like so interesting because once again, Shopify does have search and yes, they keep iterating and improving upon it. But we start thinking about semantic and the buyer intent and being able to reveal the right collection and products dynamically in real time based on a continued search or by that session or understanding that known or unknown site visitor. That's such a powerful technology to have access to.
I think for us, it's definitely, you don't want to just be a collection of technologies. And that is basically also our goal, is that they all, like all the features speak to each other. When you have search or you have a UGC portion of the platform, we want to make sure, can we A/B test it? Can we make sure it's segmented? Does it talk to the recommendation engine? So the idea is not just to, you know, be an aggregator of these random technologies. There is a bigger mission here that we're working on diligently, and hopefully we'll be able to realize that vision for sure.
So I want to chat a bit about the founder's story. I think for me, and I'm sure my listeners, it sets the stage a bit about, you know, why do people build what they build and like, how dare you build it? And what, you know, where did the technology come from? Like this brain power and the desire and the expertise, just maybe you can share a little bit about how all the pieces came together with the founding team and how it's iterated over time with this founding team.
I'm going to probably use the first names only. So my Finnish colleagues, it's probably the easiest. So obviously our founders, three-person team. So we have Juha, Antti, and Jani. The first thing that I'm super proud of, and perhaps also the reason why I've stuck around so long, if you will, is that all of the founders are still with Nosto. So they're still working on it, and everyone has their own expertise. At this point, from a CTO perspective, Antti, who's kind of the architect of the platform, he's been building e-com platforms for a long time. So he really had that technical know-how. Yanni, on the other hand, he's the kind of infrastructure guy. So the AWS, you know, hosting, making sure that we can deliver on response times. And that's his role. And then Juha is actually the person who has been running like business websites. So he's been selling ski and snowboard equipment. And that's kind of the founding story, that he couldn't personalize online the way he could in his retail stores in Finland. And so those guys got together, still here, still doing their thing. And yeah.
It's lovely too. And then I think over time, you know, you became on the radar with Shopify. And then over time, we're invited to apply for the Plus Technology Partners team. So I guess we call it CPAP, Plus, the Shopify Plus Technology Partners. And I know there's quite a few hoops you have to jump through, from privacy and security and data handling and customer service. There's a lot of things to become a Plus Technology Partner. You're one of 80, and there's like almost 7,000 apps in the App Store. And, you know, the cream rises to the top. So it's very clear for those that are listening today that, you know, when you go to the Shopify App Store and you look for the Plus certified apps, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to be on Plus. So it just proves the fact that the biggest, baddest brands in the world have been, you know, Shopify has vetted these particular solutions, and Nosto being one of them in the kind of personalization category. And I think that's pretty impressive, like over the years. And I'm sure you and the founding team are very happy that you were part of the initial launch of this Plus certification program.
100%. And obviously you guys have been good to us, and we obviously want to repay that also with being kind of platform specific. So I feel, you know, whether it's integration with OS 2.0, or I think we were also one of the first who did Shopify Flow. We had like a integration being able to pull in some of those Shopify Flow triggers. So we still want to continue to make investments that are specific to you guys. So that's kind of also our promise. I think there are a lot of tools that are very generic, and we don't want to be that in a way. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing I notice when I look at the Nosto website, or I follow you on socials, and I believe I'm even syndicating a lot of your content, your blog content on e-commerce Fastlane, but the word experience optimization comes up quite a bit. And I don't believe you've coined it, but it's interesting. You certainly have adopted it as part of your overall language and core mission, I believe. So maybe can you explain a little bit to our listeners about like why Nosto believes that experience optimization, why does it matter for brands today?
Looking at the history, like we've definitely also become more abstract in how we describe our platform, because it is obviously getting broader, as you know. But yeah, I think experience optimization does capture it quite well. So we feel it's kind of a scientific approach to just improving usability of a website and also other channels. So obviously, you want to connect those as well. Want to make it intuitive, want to make it fun. And for us, it used to be just putting the right product, right time and right place. Now it's obviously also the right offer. It's the right piece of content. And just making sure that we use all of the signals that we process to make it more fun, enjoyable, and of course, performant. That's at the end of the day that our customers will pay for as well. But I will say, like, experience optimization, the why our merchants and our customers buy our platform, that keeps changing. And the challenges that they address with a platform like Nosto, that definitely keeps changing. I've talked a lot about how our tool has been used during COVID, and there were almost like these tailwinds, where you had, you know, influx of new traffic, and there were new customer segments that you wanted to have a personalized experience to. And I feel now in the last 6 months, maybe 2 years, there were a few obviously challenges in e-com. So of course we had things like inflation, which drives, you know, a decrease in conversion rate. So we've seen that when price adjustments have been made by our merchants. You had the identification around the Apple iOS 14 update, so kind of the ad performance and CPAs that are being addressed, and certainly a lot of merchants, and speaking with our CSM team, are seeing that as well. And then there's some other macro stuff, which of course you can talk about, like the venture funding, etc. But so I feel also that the way our tool is being used, that is changing as well. So for example, now seeing some conversion rate drops, you might, for example, do more, you know, work around optimizing your landing pages. You might be a little bit more transactional around, you know, how do I sort my collection pages, and just maybe get a little bit more, I wouldn't say aggressive, but a little bit more around, you know, increasing AOV, maybe have more cross-sell opportunities. So I feel that keeps changing how the tool is being used to kind of address the challenges that our merchants face, for sure. And as you know, Shopify, that's kind of the goal as well, to democratize online businesses. But of course, if it's easy to start, it's still, you know, difficult to master. And so definitely our tool is kind of flowing into what would be considered like conversion rate optimization. So a lot of our agency partners also use kind of our tool to do that in a more scientific and rigorous, you know, A/B testing type manner, for sure.
You know, what's interesting, I think about the topics that come up with the brands that I manage, and, you know, privacy obviously is one of them. And we talk about the iOS 14 update, and, you know, Safari doesn't have cookies anymore, and Chrome is thinking, you know, seriously considering having a cookie-less Chrome. So it's interesting. And then first party data then becomes super important, even zero party data, where you're asking extra questions to learn more about your buyer or potential buyer. I want to talk a little bit about Nosto's position or technology around both the known customer and the unknown customer. Because I'm always fascinated around that, because I think it's a delicate balance of, you know, there's these GDPR and privacy policies and kind of this PII, we call it, this personally identifiable information. But then there's the known customer where, you know, they've knowingly given a phone number or an email address and it assigns itself to a customer record of some sort, purchased or not, but there's still some history. So I'm just curious in how Nosto is managing someone shows up on a website. And I say this because let's just be under the assumption that, I don't know, a 2% conversion rate, 98 out of 100 are leaving. You may know 10% of them, they left, but there's still a large majority of site visitors that are unknown. How does Nosto handle that? And is the experience different of the logged in known experience and then the unknown non-logged in experience from your platform's perspective?
Great question. So I think from a technology perspective, so we are first party. So I guess some of the questions around third party data do not concern us. I think that's definitely a positive. I will say in terms of like cookies and clearing cookies or not even allowing cookies to be set, the identification rate is still going down. And there's certainly strategies that we deploy to still make the shopping experience very personalized. So there's definitely contextual data clues that we use more frequently nowadays than we have in the past. So for example, IP lookup, so geolocation. So you would come to websites, either your first time or it's your second time, but if you cleared your cookies, it would still be possible, for example, to do a geo-targeted experience, whether it's a banner or a recommendation that highlights what's trending around your neighborhood. So that's already personalized. The same goes for, you know, reading your UTM parameters, traffic source. So that is also something that we can take into consideration. You come from Instagram, you come from Google Shopping, and then we capture that traffic and we show something that's absolutely relevant. It is already personalized, even though we haven't seen any click just yet. And then, of course, once you're on the site, any behavioral data, clues, clicks, add to cart events, of course, conversions, that's something we will then process in real time and still be personalizing that for sure. In terms of logged in user, for us, we do like to see email as well. We want to tie that to a cookie ID just for us to, for example, work with, you know, email integration like Klaviyo, other tools. So if we pass browsing data to other platforms, then it usually happens through an identifier that is email. So there's still benefits to identification, but technically as a first party cookie tool, our idea is that you don't have to log in to personalize the experience.
Okay, that's lovely. Let's talk a little bit about some campaigns, because I think this is more the tactical part of the show now. I want to be more specific, you know, those that are potentially wanting to use Nosto or those maybe that are in the early stages are just like, hey, that's a great idea. Maybe I need to implement that now and help move the needle a bit for my brand. So are you seeing any specific campaigns that are performing well, maybe in the last 6 months? Things have changed, obviously, just because of COVID. There appears to be a light at the end of the tunnel. More traditional retail has opened up. I mean, e-commerce adoption is not as great as it was in the middle of the pandemic, but there's still lots of people that just love shopping online, the convenience factor and the selection factor that's available. So I just would love to understand. I'm sure we'll get into some case studies a little later on in the show, but just maybe campaigns on a high level, like what are you seeing that's working specifically well for Nosto customers?
I think a fairly broad question because we have so many different tools and I could probably spend a good hour here, but I feel, as mentioned before, like the way the tool is used, that is definitely updating alongside our clients and their programs. But I just did a webinar with Echo Card. So what we also found out is like a lot of our clients actually using our A/B testing and content personalization to come up with some sustainability messaging, testing that, what's the actual value of it instead of taking it at face value. So I thought it was interesting, you know, one of our clients doing a banner swap for folks who had an affinity towards buying sustainable products? Does that really increase conversion rate? Is there maybe even a cost to pay by being sustainable? You don't know, obviously, until you test it. So that was quite interesting to see that our tool is being used in that fashion. What I feel is happening right now is that certain strategies that already work within other channels are being adopted on-site. So, for example, on-site lifecycle targeting. If you use your email tool, you probably do, you know, welcome series, and you do targeting by customer lifetime value. These are very standard things you would do in email. But then once you get to your website, it's kind of you're not taking those cues and running with it. So, for example, on-site lifecycle targeting is something we've done very frequently now. Like, how do you treat a new visitor versus returning versus a converted versus maybe a VIP customer? And that's something that applies, you know, to any merchant, I would say, regardless of vertical. So that works quite well. Then perhaps moving away from content personalization, if we look at recommendations, we do a lot around bundling now, like Shop a Look. There's a lot of intelligence that's being added. And perhaps a thing that I've seen with our new tools on the UGC side, certainly tapping into more social media channels. So, for example, TikTok content is being pulled in. And just getting smarter about UGC. So instead of just collecting, you know, random content and curating that, maybe going out and looking for specific and asking your users for specific content that's more strategic. And I feel one example is Persil's. I think it's a Unilever brand, maybe it's one of our CPG clients. Instead of, you know, asking people to take a picture of laundry detergent, they had this campaign. It was dirt is good. And folks would upload, you know, pictures of kids splashing in puddles. So it's just getting strategic around UGC as opposed to letting folks, you know, tag you and be done with it. I think that's been key. And maybe one last one, I think definitely getting smarter on the collection page merchandising. If you look at your website, it's probably the one portion of an e-com website that's the least optimized. Like, you know, people have been optimizing their websites, landing pages, you know, using A/B testing tools, but it's fairly difficult to pull off on the collection page. So a lot of work being done there as well.
It's interesting with the collection page too, because I have a lot of brands that do nothing about it. It's just, it's sorted in the default sort order, or they're using other tools, maybe a merchandiser, a little more senior brand. They're using a merchandiser to kind of make decisions on which products need to be allocated beside each other. But it's interesting. This might allow us to pivot to my next question about machine learning and kind of AI as it relates to Nosto, because I think that's the problem right now. The human right now on the collection page typically is dragging and dropping and moving things around. Some brands, as strange as it may sound, some brands have a drop. They only have 500 pieces. They know they're going to get more. I have one brand that does that, where they do a drop on a Friday and they see Monday morning what happened, but they do not change the sort order. They do manually curate the order of them on the collection page by hand, because this looks nice with this, goes along with this accessory. Okay, I get what they're trying to do. They purposely don't force down out of stock items or non-selling items. They don't push them down lower on the page, because we know above the fold is kind of important. Just for discoverability. Everybody has a different kind of methodology about how they want their collection page to work. And so I guess that kind of gets me to my next question around how this experience platform is evolving. I guess I'm kind of getting under the hood here a bit, but just understanding some of the trends right now in, you know, in machine learning and artificial intelligence as it relates to Nosto.
On the collection page, we do see that, and we actually have that conversation quite frequently. Like, if someone who's doing like very manual merchandising, can you trust a tool that's going to kind of re-rank products all the time? So you're more or less just moving almost to a marketplace approach, where perhaps you let the products kind of battle it out for exposure on your website, getting more financial. So some folks do not like that approach, which is fine. So I think you can find a balance between, you know, ranking by product performance, which is, by the way, changing all the time, right? If you use like an out-of-the-box all-time bestseller, which I think is usually the case with out-of-the-box ranking, it doesn't take into consideration if the performance of a SKU changes over time. So I feel there's a lot of efficiency gains to be had. And when we do the testing, simply adding, you know, revenue per impression does a huge amount to performance. But you can still manually merchandise. So I feel there's a great kind of balance to be had. But from an AI and machine learning piece, there's definitely updates across the platform. Some of them, I'd say, are maybe indirectly touching the category merchandising, certainly also product recommendations. So one bigger update I feel that's taking hold now is kind of this image recognition. So understanding what's going on in the image. Can we maybe sort? Can we build bundles? Can we make sure that products are shown that are very similar in nature or even dissimilar. So we added one algorithm that's visually dissimilar just to make sure that you can actually show a broad spectrum of products, whether it's in the recommendations or so on. So those models are getting smarter, but I also spoke with our engineering team recently, and they also tell me like a lot of the stuff around, you know, deep learning, some of those algorithms that you hear about and read about in the news, they're not fast enough to be used in an e-commerce website because you do have to respond in, I guess, 10 milliseconds or 12 milliseconds, etc. So there's also a lot of hot air. So you kind of also need to be honest that some of those that you might be reading about are not ready for like a high performance environment where you just have to be super fast. So that's certainly big. And then I feel where we can come in is really this full funnel orchestration. And that's also where a lot of work is being done, just connecting, you know, different experiences across different pages, across different channels. Because as a user, and you know this probably quite well, that you can create unlimited amount of experiences, right? An unlimited amount of segments, and you can slice and dice in so many ways. I think the end goal, especially with machine learning, it should kind of bring those opportunities to you. And I feel that's also where a lot of work is being done, is this kind of opportunity surfacing to just make that easier, because just giving you all these possibilities without, you know, highlighting which direction you should take is maybe not even that helpful, right?
Mm-hmm. What's an interesting topic too that comes up is about the, I could say, cross device or tracking between different networks outside of your own website. And I think I had Tapcart on, which is another technology partner building mobile apps for folks that, you know, they understand that their mobile traffic is big and they want the push notifications and all the benefits. And I understand that partnerships is a big thing for Nosto. I went to your website. It's very clear. You stay in your lane, but you also can appreciate there's some amazing other partners out there. People have existing tech stack and you want to play nicely with them. I know one of them is Tapcart. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about this kind of personalization thing and how these two technologies are working so well together. So
yeah, Tapcart definitely one of the bigger partners for us. And I think they're getting gathering even more steam now with, I think, this ad performance. I think they're capturing a lot of the interest now, like just owning your own channels as well. I think very similar to kind of what Klaviyo is talking about. So good for them. So we're actually also working on kind of deepening our integration. Want to make sure that the additional features and capabilities of Nosto, whether it's, you know, more recommendations and perhaps collection page merchandising and content personalization, they make their way out there as well. So I think right now we have, you know, recommendations in a fairly basic setup on the PDP. And now we're going to add all the other more personalized recommendation types as well. And that does require us to actually get some of the signals back from Tapcart. So they need to send us page views, conversion events, etc. And so that's something we're working on just to make sure that we can kind of deliver a 2.0 integration. And that's exactly going to also allow you that cross-device experience, right? You look at a product on the Tapcart app and then you go to a website and there's your, you know, browsing history. So those are kind of the things that we, of course, want to deliver and will deliver with Tapcart.
I think seeing one of the founders there, he made a comment about app clips is this new thing from the Apple kind of developer community where it actually allows for a small part of the app to be discovered directly at the moment when people need to see it. And it's so interesting. So, you know, it's not downloading the whole app and going to Google Play or the App Store. It's just like a little clip of it. And then you can download the full app and go through that whole flow as required. So interesting kind of where things are headed. And it's nice that you've like been very intentional to want to work with some premium partners. I just went into your integrations section and, you know, all the loyalty solutions, email providers, shipping and tracking, and some UGC companies externally. It's so interesting that you've kind of aligned yourself with a lot of these external partners, because I think that's one pushback that I get sometimes from brands and saying, hey, we have an existing, especially the marketing teams, they're like, okay, we have an existing tech stack and things are working well for us. Yes, we know there's a need to, you know, potentially improve our personalization, our one-to-one and these sorts of things. And, you know, Nosto definitely fits that bill, but they're a little bit apprehensive saying, well, you know, we're running Loyalty Lion or we're running Yotpo over here doing our thing. And the reality is you already have tight connections with all of these great partners already. And so, you know, the time to market is much quicker knowing that you've already aligned yourself with good partners in other verticals.
In the end, you can't do everything well. Like, we're honest about that. We're not going to be, you know, competitive in our triggered emails, for example. So we'll always bring in an email platform, of course, even though you could trigger some kind of loyalty experience. Of course, we're always going to bring in a loyalty vendor. So even though we're becoming kind of a integrated platform, and we could, of course, then just kind of focus on ourselves. I think that's not going to stop. We're going to add more integrations. I think we're going to now work on the attentive bit just to make sure we have also the SMS coverage. So that's never going to stop. I think if you want to win and be relevant in an ecosystem, if you don't do it, there's absolutely no chance that you can win over any of your clients, to be quite frank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of duct tape going on, I think, in a lot of the apps and app selections and things. When I take on a new brand, if they've, you know, platformed up from core to plus, first thing I do is take a look at their apps and talk to the powers to be and say, well, why did you choose these? And is there any native things we can do? And, oh, you know, now that you're on plus, you might want to consider some more enterprise grade kind of, you know, put on your big boy pants, so to speak. I mean, you know, here's what's kind of recommended. And that's where the plus certification program fits in, because there's some great partners in there, you being one of them. So I want to pivot to a story if I can right now, because I think a lot of us are, myself included, we're very motivated and inspired. It helps me in my day to day. Even those listening, there's, you know, tens of thousands of people listening to this episode right now. They want to understand, okay, no, I'm not using Nosto right now. I understand the benefits of personalization, and I understand that they're a technology partner. There's some baked in trust over time. And so I get all that. Hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but maybe you can share a story or two around maybe someone who has a Shopify powered store. They implemented Nosto, and then like, how has the brand grown or scaled up thanks to the Nosto technology?
We highlight our clients often and as everywhere where we can. So some of those are definitely top of mind, but I feel one that I have recently been talking about a lot with, you know, merchants and also prospects, of course, as well, is a site called Adina's Jewels. So it's a New York-based jeweler, so very close to where I live, actually. Very much a master of their craft, like very serious about jewelry and very unique in creating this very bespoke, amazing jewelry. But one of the challenges that I feel that she approached us with is that she had like very distinct audiences. In fact, it was like two big audiences that she was working with. One was kind of the fine jewelry segment. So folks who could actually, you know, pay for pure gold necklaces and, you know, diamonds and so on, like very high priced. But she also didn't want to lose out on kind of the fashion jewelry, people who might want to buy something for $30, $50. But she was kind of struggling, like, how can I make sure that those two swim lanes are kind of addressed properly, like they feel, you know, welcome and in a way treated equally and very, yeah, uniquely. So she approached us and asked us what we could do to target those two segments and kind of reflect their preferences. And so what we came up with was actually using our segmentation tool and our category merchandising or collection page merchandising. So we set up those segments based on behavioral triggers. So anyone who had shopped, you know, high-priced products would be put into the fine jewelry segment. Anyone who's maybe shopping products at a lower price point and maybe discounts would be put into the fashion jewelry segment. And we completely re-rank products for those two segments. It's amazing. Like, you can really treat and almost compare that to a physical store, almost, you know, restack the store shelves for those segments. Performance was really amazing. And we're so proud that we could help out. And then, I mean, there's so many brands, but definitely one that I wanted to bring up is kind of a women's health supplements, a brand as well. Might not name the exact merchant. I believe we're under NDA, but I think the experience was amazing. Like, that was using our segments and content. So this is a fairly new brand. So they also had a goal of kind of branding themselves, introducing the brand, like how is, you know, this supplement created? What are the ingredients, etc. So what they did was actually then use lifecycle segments. So first time visitor, returning visitor. And initially, there was a lot about what does this brand stand for? You know, who are we? How do we produce our product? And then once there was a conversion, that whole experience changed entirely. So it became more transactional. It was more about, you know, here's a subscription to some of our products. And then if someone converted again, then they kind of assumed this is going to be a big fan. So maybe we can showcase like a referral approach and maybe ask to bring us a new client. So that's, again, being relevant. It's being, you know, focused on who's in front of you, the experience. And I feel maybe there's one more here. I think Princess Polly, they did something that was actually inspired by something outside of e-com. So not sure if you have a Spotify license. I'm sure you do. This annual year review. Do you see that, where they give you all your favorite tracks and the tracks to get away?
Yes, definitely. And I love that, because then it kind of goes into summary. It's like, oh, wow, I listened to a lot of yacht rock this year.
So they were inspired by that and asked, could we do something similar, but bring it to retail and in e-com? So we built out these personalized landing pages that had your most viewed products and the products that you looked at and but didn't buy. Like, what's your favorite category? What's your favorite, you know, style? So they also used kind of our segmentation and behavioral affinities. So there were like five or six kind of these personalized blocks, and it kind of, yeah, reflected this year-end review experience. And I think they did an amazing job with that and just being fun and relevant and still, you know, having commercial value, of course, as well.
It's lovely. I'll make sure I put the links to a lot of these. So I went to Adina's Jewelry in New York and had just had a little peek while you were chatting about it. And I saw dynamically kind of what Nosta was doing. So it's very interesting kind of how you do it, Princess Polly, and there's a few others. There's a link to a lot of your success stories and case studies on Nosto.com. I'll make sure I put that link in the show notes too. So go back to e-commerce Fastlane. You'll be able to see that for this episode. I don't want to pivot to, I guess, nearing the end of the show, but I just would love to understand the future of Nosto. I mean, like I said before, last time we chatted with was back in 2018, and man, things have changed. We've got to have a pact that maybe we have to have you on the show again, because I think just customers and platforms and just, you know, demands of the market change, and so does the roadmap, and so does the implementation. The technologies are changing, and, you know, Nosto's right alongside, you know, those demands. And so just like to understand what the North Star is, I guess, for the remainder of 22, you know, leading into BFCM, which is a big time. I don't want to think about fall when just starting summer now, but it's still an important thing to think about. So I just would love to understand the roadmap publicly, what you can share, and kind of where you believe the Nosto brand is headed in the next few quarters.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that we've talked about publicly, of course, were the acquisition. So search and UGC is quite big for us. But again, making sure that there's a unique take on those products, we want to make sure it's fully integrated. It makes, you know, leverages what we're good at already, like the segmentation, personalization. So those tools will always be combined to kind of unlock these hopefully compound performance effects. So hopefully it's also something that will speak to bigger brands who are going maybe towards a more consolidated approach. So hopefully we have something that is completely strategic, allows you to really intentional and strategic with your efforts. So you can definitely expect us to have a unique take on both of those. I think there's going to be a bigger update around our visual AI component. So we're already doing a host of things around, you know, understanding what's going on in your product image. We already, of course, understand what's going on in your UGC. So we'll automatically tag all the concepts. So you can expect us to make some updates there as well. And then, of course, I mean, we want to be relevant for you as well. So Shopify 2.0, just make sure that we can support that, invest more into Flow, invest more into your ecosystem, just making sure we integrate with Attentive and some of those other tools that we have as well. So definitely not going to get boring. And I feel because we are at the forefront, like some of the stuff that our machine learning team comes up with, we'll obviously then be able to speak about that as well. But certainly exciting times ahead, and certainly also the ability to implement headless as well. So our API infrastructure is quite broad at this point. So already now you can, you know, pull in racks and content experiences through our API. And I feel we can probably still do better, right? I mean, we can still improve the documentation and the use cases. So certainly a big investment into the ability to play nice with hydrogen, for example, as well.
Yeah, the whole hydrogen and oxygen thing that Toby's released, it's in its early days right now, but headless is, you know, for the less than 1% of the market, just because of the tech infrastructure that goes along with it. But decoupling the front from the back office is very interesting, and having an API first kind of storefront slash kind of, you know, fulfillment and marketing and all the different things, it's an interesting angle, but it's not for everyone. But I think Shopify, once again, is trying to innovate again, I think, with hydrogen and oxygen, is democratizing kind of a headless opportunity with, you know, because that's the problem right now, is having a separate host and a separate CMS, and just things are, they have to talk to each other. And I think we're trying to figure that out, of like giving people full kind of front end control, but with still kind of quote unquote the Shopify back office, you know, runs quite well. So instead of people having to go third party, you know, using Contentful and Webflow and other different types of CMSs, which are great, WordPress even, at some point it's going to be all under Shopify's hood. So I'll put a link to that. I think it's hydrogen.shopify.dev. You can go there and learn more about hydrogen and oxygen. So one is the hosting, one is the actual technology around it, the React framework, and all these kinds of fun things. So I guess one last thing that I would like to mention, I know we chatted in the green room kind of just before recording. I want to send people to Nosto.com for sure. That's number one, just to at least check out everything that's all Nosto. You have your blog and your case studies, and there's a lot of learnings going on there. And I understand that, like, for our listeners today, there's the bonus for those that are really want to level up their skills. Really good on your LinkedIn profile too. You have a certification program. I'd like you maybe to share some of the details and how people can take you up on this free offer.
Absolutely. So I just want to make sure that everyone gets something out of this outside of our conversation as well. So we will be offering kind of a free commerce certification for anyone who wants to. So I'm going to put the link, I guess, in the comment section. And for us, the commerce experience certification is something that we take very seriously. It's kind of basing it on what our CSMs do day in and day out in terms of delivering the solution, just being top of mind and just using kind of the latest and greatest experiences, getting the most out of the platform. And I feel it's necessary because it's becoming, I guess, again, more complex to solve some of those issues and challenges that merchants come to us. So you'll be definitely kind of up to date in terms of your knowledge around experience optimization, specifically when it comes to on-site and personalization, UGC. So please let us know. And if there's any questions, I'm also happy to answer those. So it's jan@nosto.com, just my first name, always available. If there's any conversations to be had, just ping me by email as well.
Yeah, it's lovely. So I'll have this link in the show notes. Thank you for offering that, because I think typically this certification is for Nosto customers, but this is a good way if you're not even a Nosto customer yet. And thank you for listening in today's episode, because you get access to this program. It's kind of probably $1,000 program, quite in depth and fully certified, and you know, just levels up your knowledge and your skills kind of around a Shopify store optimization and strategy around how to use the platform and best practices. I'm going to actually do the course myself too, just to kind of level up myself. I have this life of learning mantra. And so you never want to be the smartest person in the room. You have to kind of keep leveling up, and just kind of part of the day-to-day here at Shopify. And this podcast is part of my talking points with the brands I manage. So, but yeah, thanks, Jan. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for, you know, all the great work you do, being a Plus Certified Partner. You shared a lot of knowledge. I think the vision of the Nosto brand is very exciting. And I know that you're making a lot of impact for a lot of brands. So for those listening, please go to Nosto.com. Definitely do this free training, because it'll open your mind about what is available. It just will make you a better entrepreneur or a better marketer if you're working for a Shopify brand right now. So thanks, Jan, again, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
All right, take care. Today's episode was brought to you by Conversion Fanatics. If you're doing 7 or 8 figures or more on your Shopify store and you're not doing conversion optimization, you're definitely leaving cash on the table. Now, the team at Conversion Fanatics, as I mentioned, runs thousands of site experiments every year for clients like Clorox, Burt's Bees, NBC Sports, and so many more. They optimize your site so you can get a lot more customers, scale up your traffic faster, and see a lot more profit. And they make it easy, and they handle everything. So go to conversionfanatics.com for a free site proposal and tell them e-commerce Fastlane sent you, because as I said, traffic without conversions is sad. All right, go check them out, conversionfanatics.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.